Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page with an article entitled, Cox Invests $350 Million in Rivian. Electric car startup says Cox Automotive, a great partner for us. Another auto company is buying into Rivian. After Ford invested $500 million in the electric car startup that plans to make vehicles at the former Mitsubishi plant in Normal, service and logistics business Cox Automotive has stepped up with a $350 million equity investment, Rivian announced on Tuesday. We are building a Rivian ownership experience that matches the care and consideration that go into our vehicles, said Rivian founder and CEO R.J. Scaringe in a news release. As part of this, we are excited to work with Cox Automotive in delivering a consistent customer experience across our various touchpoints. Cox Automotive's global footprint, service and logistics capabilities, and retail technology platform make them a great partner for us. Rivian will remain independent, but add a representative of Cox, an Atlanta-based collection of services including Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, and Manheim Auctions to its board. We are excited by Rivian's unique approach to building an electrified future and to be part of the positive impact its products will bring to our roads and the world around us, said Cox Automotive President Sandy Schwartz. This investment complements Cox Automotive's own commitment to environmental change through our Cox Conserves efforts. Rivian secured a $700 million investment led by Amazon in February, followed by Ford in April. Ford plans to make an electric vehicle with Rivian technology to be manufactured in Normal. Rivian plans to have 1,000 full-time employees in Normal by 2024, making electric vehicles including its RIT pickup truck and RIS sports utility vehicle, both scheduled to hit the market in 2020. Any Rivian win is also a win for Bloomington Normal, said Patrick Hoban, CEO of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council. We've got an exciting product. They've got an exciting product, and a lot of people are interested in it. This is their third major investor this year, and I'm sure there will be more on the way. The company is overhauling the plant, including the paint line and offices, as part of a planned $40 million plus investment. I am happily stunned and energized by what happens there, said Normal Mayor Chris Coos of Rivian on Facebook. Incredible things are coming. Rivian was promised more than $50 million in state and local tax breaks when the company bought the shuttered Mitsubishi plant for $16 million in 2017. Laboring on a cloud. Laughing Gas offers relief option to moms at Central Illinois hospitals. For a time during her labor at OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center, April Eckerd was laughing. At the beginning, I was laughing a little bit, Eckerd, 31, recalled in her Bloomington home on Tuesday as she held her son, Bram. I felt ridiculous, she said with a smile. Later, I felt like I was floating on a cloud, she recalled. Those sensations were brief, just long enough to help her to deal with painful contractions. St. Joseph is among a growing number of hospitals to offer nitrous oxide, better known as laughing gas, as pain relief for women in labor. The Bloomington Medical Center began offering nitrous oxide on August 17th, said Renal Composto, manager of the St. Joseph Birthing Center. Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal soon will offer nitrous oxide to laboring mothers, said Stephanie Wallenberg, Broman Obstetrics nurse manager. The addition of this service comes in response to a number of patients requesting nitrous oxide as a pain relief alternative, Wallenberg said. Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital in Lincoln is considering adding the option. The birth center of Bloomington Normal in Bloomington began offering nitrous oxide about a year ago. An HSHS St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur has provided nitrous oxide since late 2017. You can use as much or as little as you want, Eckerd said. I think it's a great option for someone who wants to stay mobile and to avoid an epidural, an anesthetic to reduce sensation below the waist. Before, for women in labor who wish to reduce pain and anxiety without an epidural or intravenous pain medicine, options included movement, deep breathing, and a labor tub. We added nitrous oxide to give moms more options, Composto said. There are women who didn't want an epidural because they wanted some control, but still wanted pain relief. But some women who use nitrous oxide have an epidural later if the pain becomes too severe, she said. It gives women an option to be mobile, to walk around, to get on a birthing ball, Composto said. Composto said she's heard that nitrous oxide was used years ago, but fell out of favor when epidurals became more widespread. It's resurfacing a bit, she said, of nitrous oxide. People were starting to ask about it. It's patient-driven. At HSHS St. Mary's in Decatur, 30-40% of women use nitrous at some point during labor, said spokesman Andrew Dilbeck. About 10% of our moms utilize it, said Stephanie Harper, administrator of the Birth Center of Bloomington Normal. They appreciate the additional option and like that it's non-invasive. Nitrous oxide is 50% nitrous gas and 50% oxygen. When women request it, cylinders with each gas, a device that blends the gases, and a handheld mask are brought on a wheeled cart to the woman in labor, Composto explained. The nitrous oxide is self-administered. About 30 seconds prior to the start of each contraction, the woman may breathe in the nitrous oxide and continue through the contraction. The woman sets the mask down between contractions and can stop using it at any time. Nitrous oxide is cleared from the body when women breathe in room air, Composto said. Some women experience nausea, but that feeling dissipates after a few deep breaths of room air. There is no impact on labor, no known effects on the unborn baby, and no long-term effects on mothers. It's very safe, Harper said. It's metabolized quickly. It doesn't take the pain away, and people don't really laugh, but it gives you a euphoric feeling so you can manage the pain throughout the labor process, Composto said. From August 17th through September 3rd, of the 24 vaginal deliveries at St. Joseph, 6 women chose nitrous oxide. We're getting really positive feedback from the patients, said Composto, adding there is no additional charge for the nitrous oxide. Among patients has been Eckert, who gave birth to Bram on August 17th. She wanted to lessen the labor pain that she had experienced with her son Roman, who turns 3 on September 30th, but also didn't want an epidural and wanted to stay mobile. I didn't like the idea of being numbed and not in control of my body, she said. Eckert would breathe in the nitrous oxide about 45 seconds before her contraction and would continue breathing it until the contraction pain began to subside. It kind of takes you on a cloud, she said. I would estimate it took away half of the pain. It definitely takes the edge off. Between contractions, she would breathe room air. But during the final hours of labor, when contractions were inconsistent, Eckert admitted that the nitrous oxide didn't help as much. But for the majority of labor, it was helpful, she said. It was a welcome surprise, and I would use it again. I only see it increasing in use, Composto said. And here's today's flick fact. Available these days on outlets such as YouTube and Amazon Prime is the 1998 Richard Benjamin-directed military comedy The Pentagon Wars, starring Kelsey Grammer. Do you know the classic dialogue midway in the movie that might be especially amusing in Central Illinois? The answer? Among the movie's dialogue, you're from where? Normal, Illinois? Is it normal in normal? Mostly uneventful. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, September 11th. It's the 254th day of 2019, and we have 111 days left in this year. Today's highlight on September 11th, 2001. America faced an unprecedented day of terror as 19 Al-Qaeda members hijacked four passenger jetliners, sending two of the planes smashing into New York's World Trade Center, one into the Pentagon, and the fourth into a field in western Pennsylvania, resulting in nearly 3,000 deaths. On this date in 1789, Alexander Hamilton was appointed the first U.S. Secretary of the Treasury. In 1814, an American fleet scored a decisive victory over the British in the Battle of Lake Champlain in the War of 1812. In 1936, Boulder Dam, now Hoover Dam, began operation as President Franklin D. Roosevelt pressed a key in Washington to signal the startup of the dam's first hydroelectric generator. In 1941, groundbreaking took place for the Pentagon. In a speech that drew accusations of anti-Semitism, Charles A. Lindbergh told an American First rally in Des Moines, Iowa, that the British, the Jewish, and the Roosevelt administration were pushing the United States towards war. And here's a thought for today from Ralph Waldo Emerson, American poet and essayist. A hero is no braver than an ordinary man, but he is braver 5 minutes longer. How time flies locally. 100 years ago on September 11th, 1919, Bloomington has a member on the U.S. Naval Academy's rowing team, Theodore L. Hasbrock. He is shown among many other team members after an anti-battalion boat race on the Severn River. Hasbrock was part of the winning rowing crew that day. 75 years ago, on September 11, 1944, a late summer cold front blew through town, causing temperatures to drop 16 degrees in half an hour. It was 82 degrees at 1 o'clock when a brief shower began. 30 minutes and 0.15 inches of rain later, it was 67 degrees. Rainfall this month is under half an inch. 50 years ago, on September 11, 1969, cable TV came on in town, but changes lie ahead. The FCC ordered a halt to cable construction, charging the GTE franchise was anti-competitive. Now comes a new directive. GTE can build the system and run it, but ultimately must sell the franchise. And 25 years ago today, on September 11, 1994, it appears Veterans Parkway's days as a bypass around town are over. With this city's eastward expansion and development of businesses along the road, land prices are going up. Veterans Parkway now sees a traffic count of 50,000 cars per day. From the Bloomington Liquor Commission, Beer Garden Hours Limited at Eric's 2. Action taken after complaints of noise and intoxicated patrons. A West Bloomington restaurant owner is again the subject of complaints about noise and intoxicated patrons, this time at his second eatery. Eric Truia operates his new restaurant, Eric's 2 Family Restaurant and Lounge, at 921 Maple Hill Road, along with his original eatery, Eric's, across from Miller Park, at 903 West Wood Street. The original restaurant had issues with noise from late-night patrons in its outdoor beer garden. After hearing new complaints echoing those involving the same owner at his original eatery in a Miller Park residential neighborhood, the Bloomington Liquor Commission on Tuesday unanimously recommended Eric's 2 be allowed to serve alcohol in the outdoor beer garden, but with limited hours. The beer garden will have to close at 10 p.m. on weeknights and 11 p.m. on weekends. If there are no new complaints, Trio could come back next spring to request those restrictions be lifted, said Mayor Terry Renner, who heads the three-member commission. We would want to make sure there are no concerns by the neighbors, because that is something we have to take into consideration, he added. At a public hearing in July, the managers of two nearby motels, Country Inn and Suites by Radisson Bloomington Normal West at 923 Maple Hill Drive and Ramada Limited Bloomington at 919 Maple Hill Drive, said that since Eric's 2 opened in 2018, they have had issues with not only the loud music, but also picking up discarded liquor and beer bottles that have been tossed aside. Hotel guests complaining about not feeling safe because of being approached by people asking them for money, and intoxicated patrons outside of the restaurant. In other action, the commission unanimously recommended a restaurant liquor license for Biagi's Ristorante Italiano. The eatery plans to move in February from 1501 North Veterans Parkway to a new building next to Ancho and Agave, a Mexican restaurant that Biagi's opened in May at Empire Street and Airport Road in East Bloomington. They unanimously recommended a tavern liquor license for 1107 West Lounge, formerly the Copper Top Lounge at 1107 West Locust Street. Owner Tom Hubbard said in 2001 he sold the bar he built there in 1981. Hubbard said he recently took the bar back after the Copper Top owners fell behind in rent and contractual payments. He wants the city to make an exception and allow him to keep the 5 video gambling machines that are there now, because he is the establishment's previous owner. Noting that he has had a liquor license for 43 years without any problems, I think I've earned the right to be that exception, added Hubbard, who also owns Cheeks Bar and Grill in East Bloomington. The City Council will address whether the bar qualifies for an exception under a new ordinance that caps the number of establishments licensed for video gambling machines at 60. The Commission's other recommendations will be considered by the Council in October. Hearings not anticipated. With sale in works, historic preservation talk placed on hold. Public hearings related to two recently submitted nominations seeking historic preservation S-4 designation for the downtown State Farm building will not take place next week. The city's Historic Preservation Commission anticipated holding the hearings during its September 19th meeting, but on Friday, State Farm announced it had found an interested buyer and will cease plans to demolish the downtown building once the sale is finalized. A nominating form submitted by local historian Greg Coos has been withdrawn, City Manager Tim Gleason said at the City Council meeting Monday night. This is in recognition of the welcome sale of the building to a historic building redevelopment company, Coos stated in a letter to Gleason. A hearing for another S4 nomination from the Franklin Park Foundation has been tabled by a commission chairperson, Lee Klein, pending the building's sale. Given Friday's great news regarding the building's pending sale, this is absolutely the right move, Gleason said. It is the city's wish to support the sale and redevelopment of this building. However, it is appropriate, and this meets that goal. The commission's meeting at 5 p.m. September 19th will still take place so it can consider other items. City code allows anyone to nominate a single property to be considered for designation as a historic landmark subject to preservation under the zoning guidelines of an S4 historic preservation district. The 13-story, 90-year-old downtown building was the insurer's original headquarters and was used until January 2018, when the last of its employees were moved to other Bloomington offices. State Farm is working to sell the building to a Rockford firm that plans to renovate the building for 230 luxury apartments. State Farm expects to open early next year the Good Neighbor Center, an interactive experience at the insurer's corporate headquarters in East Bloomington that will allow employees and occasionally the public to experience the company's past, present, and future. Many of the items for the center were removed from the downtown building, the company said in a statement. Yoder seeks re-election as McLean County Coroner. McLean County Coroner Kathy Yoder has announced her candidacy for re-election. Yoder was appointed coroner in November 2014 by the McLean County Board, succeeding Beth Kimmerling, and was elected to a four-year term in 2016. It has been a great honor to serve the citizens of McLean County for the past 5 years as coroner, Yoder said in a statement. I feel that I am the voice for those who no longer have a voice. I hope the people of McLean County have seen the passion I bring to this office and will allow me to continue to serve them as their coroner. Yoder has both a bachelor's and master's degree in nursing and a doctorate of nursing practice. Yoder worked as a nurse practitioner in neurosurgery and then emergency medicine from 2005 to 2014. She taught nursing as adjunct faculty at both Illinois Wesleyan and Illinois State University. As coroner, Yoder manages a yearly budget of $600,000. The Danvers native is married to Judge William Yoder. Heartland Eyes Reserve Fund Policy. The President's Financial Stability Task Force is recommending that the Heartland Community College Board of Trustees adopt policies on maintaining a certain range of reserve funds and striving to keep a flat total tax rate. Under the recommendation, the policy would call for maintaining reserve funds of between 40% and 60% of the district's annual operating budget expenditures. The recommendations were presented at a special meeting Tuesday night that lasted 90 minutes. The board is expected to act on the recommendations at its meeting 6 p.m. Tuesday in the Community Common Building at the Robb Road campus. The recommendations, which include proposals on debt management and related standards, are roughly in line with what has been the board's standard practice in recent years. However, the practices have never been put into writing and formally adopted by the board. Doug Minter, Vice President of Business Services and Institutional Effectiveness, said having the policies in writing could help the district achieve a higher bond rating. Standard & Poor's gave Heartland an AA-plus rating in fall 2018, the last time it issued bonds. The highest rating is AAA. Higher bond ratings generally result in the district having to pay less interest when it borrows money, Mintner explained. The district's current fund balance is about 50% of its yearly budgeted expenditures of $32 million. Other districts looked at by the task force had reserves averaging about 32%, said Heartland Controller Sharon McDonald. President Keith Cornile, who created the task force, said, "We want to ensure we are prepared for downturns, such as the recent troubles with state funding." He said, "Long-term planning is critical to maintaining the quality of the college we have." Although the budget climate in Illinois is better than it was 3 years ago, Minter said, "Having adequate reserves is important because of the volatility of the Illinois environment." The district also has to deal each year with the question of whether it will be eligible to levy what's called an equity tax. Eligibility involves a complex formula involving enrollment, equalized assessed valuation, and average tax rates statewide. Heartland often falls close to the line of being eligible and can't count on it. Area calendar for today, Wednesday. Populism Abroad from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. and Friday, September 18th and 20th at the ISU Alumni Center in Normal. Various topics and instructors. It's presented by the Academy of Seniors and it's $15 per class. The 9/11 commemoration will take place at 11:45 on the east steps of the McLean County Museum of History, 200 North Main Street, Bloomington. It's sponsored by American Legion Post 635 and 56. Teen Maker Wednesday, tie-dye shirts and bags, will be from 4:30 to 6 at the Normal Public Library. This is appropriate for ages 12 to 18. Thursday, Toddler Time, at 10 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. at the Bloomington Public Library. Toddlers with Caregivers. Children's Discovery Museum 25th Anniversary Celebration Play will be from 1 to 8 p.m. Thursday, Children's Discovery Museum in Normal. The cost is $3. There will be special activities, door prizes, and the museum will be closed until the event begins at 1 p.m. Baby Rock Evening Edition will be at 6 p.m. and is held on the second and fourth Thursday of the month, beginning this Thursday at the Normal Public Library. It's getting hot in here. 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday at the First United Methodist Church, Normal. Conversations about climate, clean energy, jobs, and justice. And the Barnkeepers Meeting will be held at 7 p.m. Thursday at the FS Building, 402 South Hershey Road in Bloomington. The speaker will be Doug Parrott, Professor Emeritus in Animal Sciences at the University of Illinois, and his topic will be the U of I's role in the promotion of the American Round Barn. We will take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. Please stay tuned.